So there is an organization in South Africa called the South African Banking Risk Information Center, and the CEO, Andre Wenzel, is on the line with me this afternoon. Andre, thank you for being with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon.
Andre, so apparently your organization, SABRIC, has come out with annual crime statistics looking at last year, 2024. Maybe give us a highlight overview.
Yes, Simon, thank you. No problem. It is very nice to see that the financial crime losses have actually decreased by about 18% compared to the previous year. So overall, it looks like a good picture, from about 3.3 billion rand, which is still an incredible amount of money, down to 2.7 billion rand. However, digital banking fraud has shown a market increase. And that is, of course, the one that keeps us awake at night. We've seen an 86% increase in digital banking fraud incidents, and a 74% rise in associated losses. So we're talking a total of about 1.88 billion rand lost due to digital banking fraud. I can talk about some of the other statistics as well. We've seen quite a nice decrease in contact crime, your ATM attacks and those kinds of crime types. Then we've also seen quite a huge amount of losses due to card-related fraud, and that is, of course, being discussed quite often, 1.4 billion rand of potential losses in that space. So all in all, the trends seem to keep on shifting towards digital banking crime, digital banking fraud.
I wanted you to unpack that a little bit more for me. When you refer to digital fraud, give me concrete examples of what it is you're speaking about.
Well, these are very often your AI-driven scams, including WhatsApp messages, emails, social media posts with embedded links to false websites, fake and malicious QR codes, investment scams with deepfake face and voice messages, those kinds of things. So it is not so much an attack on the banking systems and products themselves or on the payment systems, but it's an attack on the actual consumers, the people who have the accounts, who do the transactions. And of course, there is utilization of various methods to do that.
I would imagine that in the world we're living in, with the prevalence of AI, it must be becoming increasingly difficult to discern what's real and what isn't real. And when you are contacted by your bank asking for certain information, I mean, many of us, if it looks genuine, if the email address is correct, if the hyperlink seems to be correct, we'd respond.
That is very true. And these emerging technologies, and you mentioned it, particularly generative artificial intelligence, are being leveraged by the criminals to craft more sophisticated fraud schemes. So yeah, the sophistication and sheer volume and value of the incidents emphasizes the critical need for adaptive intelligence-led security strategies. At the end of the day, it all comes back to the consumers and how they protect themselves, because you are quite right. People get calls from real banks confirming transactions. People do call each other and initiate transactions. And with some of these deep fake technologies that we see, with voice or face messages are embedded in advertisements for investments or in solicitation for people to click on a link, it is just becoming extremely, extremely difficult to know what is real and what is not.
It sounds to me as if we, the consumers, are almost sitting ducks here. If you're talking about the increased sophistication, I don't think our level of education is rising in the same manner as those of the criminals. I'm just wondering to what extent the banks have a part to play in this, in terms of educating the customer and the like.
Yeah, it is unfortunate that people do not always read or adhere to or listen to messages that they receive, warning messages. If you go on to any banking app now, I can, yeah, I'm very sure that you will find messages there as you open up or embed it in your banking app, warning you about these types of crimes. But yeah, it is very difficult to spot the real fraud. And people are also gullible. It is unfortunate. So that investments, again, investment scams, we have seen investment scams recently with the face of a president or a very well-known actor or some other person, business person, and people just accept it as the real truth and tick a button. So education is very, very important. The banks individually are doing a lot to try to educate their clients. As Sabric ourselves, we do the same. If you go onto the Sabric website, sabric.co.za, or on social media, sabricza, you will find also videos and other artifacts that will educate and teach about these things. We are currently working on a number of initiatives with other industry stakeholders and players to see how we can increase the level of awareness and education even more, because it is not yet hitting sufficient success.
Yeah, just on a personal note, I mean, my bank sent out a note last week saying join for a free webinar on protecting yourself from cyber threats. But I think to a certain extent, we're fatigued. I mean, how many more webinars can one listen to about how you're going to be defrauded by a fraudster? It's just, it's exhausting. And yet what you say is correct. It's incumbent upon us to protect ourselves. I suppose finding the balance is really crucial. Does government have a role to play in this issue?
Absolutely. And we are, as a matter of fact, in discussions with some of our regulators and others in on exactly this topic of how do we improve the education, how do we work together as cross-industry collaborative forums to do that. But you are right. We can push out 100 messages a day. If we don't do the right thing at the right time, it's just not going to hit the mark. And, you know, as banks innovate products and banking platforms, fraudsters will use a blend of technical exploitation and psychological manipulation, known as social engineering, to gain access to their accounts and transactions. So we definitely need to do more and target at specific or different target groups within the population. You need to land the message differently for your elder people than to the youngsters.
Absolutely.
And those are the types of things that we are looking at.
So South Africa generally doesn't seem to have a problem with the legislation we have in place, but we do have massive issues with enforcement. And I'm wondering whether your survey dealt with that aspect of this issue at all. I mean, we talk about the increase in digital fraud. Is anything being done? Are arrests being made? Are these local? Are these international? Is the enforcement happening?
Of course, the report that you are referring to is just purely a crime statistical report. As Sabric, we collate the fraud information from all the member banks. We put them together, we analyze them, and we submit reports like these. At the same time, we develop trend and typology scenarios, which we then work with and share with law enforcement. So, of course, I cannot express an opinion on exactly what happens within law enforcement and within the judicial services, but I can assure you that we are in daily contact, and I have a meeting tomorrow morning. First meeting is with a very, very senior official within law enforcement on some of these matters and others as well. We are actively involved in training digital imprinting and analysis of artifacts, etc., to support law enforcement because they have an incredible task. Just look at digital fraud. You know, we're talking 60 odd thousand incidents that were reported by the banks last year, with, as I said, more than 1.8 billion rands worth of losses. Each one of these matters needs to be investigated. It is an incredible task that is lying there in front of our law enforcement, and I can assure you that they are very, very keen and they are on board to work these matters. They are daily in our offices and we in theirs.
Good to hear. Andre Wenzel, the CEO of SABRIC, the South African Banking Risk Information Center, thanks for talking to us on Chai FM this afternoon.